For coaches by coaches, this is Soccer Chat with Nick Rizzo and Sean Sauterling.
What is up, everybody? It is your boy Sean from Soccer Chat. Nick is in food coma as we speak, and I am traveling with my family. Everybody say hello. And we are heading down south for the rest of our Thanksgiving. But, you know, we got the week off from here, but we want to let you all know about the United Soccer Coaches Convention. If you go on right now and register before December 13th, get yourself a sweet discount just by using the promo code SoccerChat24. And you'll hear that again coming up later. But we want to kind of tease you about convention with our chat that we had last year with our very good friend, the homie, Jay DeMeritt, former U.S. Men's National Team legend, former MLS legend, former Watford legend, and as you hear, Elton John's absolute favorite soccer player is our good friend Jay DeMeritt. Here was Jay and myself chopping it up in Philadelphia last year at the United Soccer Coaches Convention, and just like we said earlier, we want to make sure to meet you at Media Row this year at Anaheim, the United Soccer Coaches Convention. One of my favorite shows, one of my favorite guests that we've got with us, and it's kind of cool that we kind of have this two-year annual tradition now of getting to chat up with our good friend of the show, Jay DeMeritt, former Watford man, former U.S. men's national team player, but current and will always be Elton John's favorite player, I think. Man, how's it going?
It's going great. It's good to be back.
Now, I know you were mentioning you had some flight travels. I feel like everybody that came here had some flight travels, but we're so glad that you're here. You know, last year when we talked in Kansas City, you were just kind of kicking off and starting the Rise and Shine app, and you had just gotten some pretty cool sponsors for that, started working on some content. You know, kind of where are you guys at with that, and how's it going for you?
Yeah, still moving forward. You know, the app hopefully will launch in 23. It's been just like any startup, bit ups and downs and fundraising and doing all that stuff, which we're doing right now. It's again, EA is our founding partner, and it's kind of, you know, the opportunity you get a company like EA, the biggest video game company in the world, and they believe in your idea about, you know, essentially what it is. It's masterclass for teenagers, but it's interactive like TikTok. So it's like using those two things to help, you know, the betterment of our very big problem in social media is a big passion. That's what that is, my true focus now. I do some coaching, I do my camps in the summer, but it's all in the same sphere. You know, my coaches, all my coaching stuff, I learn what the kids need. And so then how do we actually, my challenge now is how do we turn that into a digital environment where it's scalable, where any kid anywhere can learn from the best, interact with the best, and then earn some stuff for it, like, you know, get coupons or, you know, brand coupons or experiences for tickets to shows, or, you know, maybe you know, go behind safes and meet Elton John. So that's kind of the idea, is like, because learning can be fun, learning can be gamified. You got to figure out the engine to deliver, and that's what we're doing. So hopefully by summer we'll be able to start plugging into clubs and starting getting some kids, to better themselves, and that's the idea. It's, you know, for me, it's the biggest problem in youth development. You know, we're not focusing on the user and flipping the mirror so they understand themselves. We're getting validation from all the external things that aren't actually ours.
Yeah.
And so, but it's our social media behavior that creates that. It's everything external. Like, oh, how many likes did I get on this photo that I put to the world? It's like, you don't even know. You know. And again, people telling you that you are this or you're not this, and they don't even know you. So this is when we then wonder why kids are full of stress and anxiety. It's indecision everywhere because they're not actually looking internal; they're looking for external validation. So, you know, our focus is to create a program where you create an internal dialogue with yourself. You learn from all the best, but again, the most interesting part of our app is that the profiles are their brains, not their faces. And so it already starts an introspective look of what your intelligence is. So if you do a lesson from a chef, you get like creative. You know, and so we base it around the 9 forms of intelligence, and so it's their brains and 9 different parts. And so every time you you know, you do a chef competition, you got to chop an onion in less than a minute, it shows that you can do it. You know, you'll get like creative points, you'll get like, you know, interpersonal points, and then you'll get like, you know, naturalistic points or something like that, where it's like, it starts to bring in these soft skills that these kids don't even know that they have. It starts to give them intelligence that they didn't know they have.
Yeah.
And so then that creates an inner confidence that they didn't know they have. And so within that, that's really where we want to live.
How's coaching going?
Coaching's awesome, man. I mean, for me, it's coaching is all about just making sure that these kids are getting what they need. You know, like, thankfully, I have a lot of stories. I have a lot of ways that I can grab their attention. And I always just focus on what I know as an athlete. You know, like, I don't know everything. I don't teach kids how to shoot.
Yeah.
I never shot. I never took a shot on the goal. You know, why would I teach them shooting? So, you know, I like to bring in a lot of people that I know in my support systems. And again, we always bring in a mentor of the day that's not soccer based. Mm-hmm. Again, we run three programs. We do DJ camps. We do leadership camps for all kids, and then we do soccer camps too. So it's very holistic in our approach. But every day they meet this badass person that's doing some badass thing. And then allowing that to really start to open up their minds to high performance. So that's what I love most. It's kind of like really surprising kids that they are more than they think they are. They're not just a player. They can learn more skills, and I create the environment for them to do all that stuff. So for me, it's a pleasure to be able to do that and to see the value of these kids. Like some of these emails I get from the parents are saying, like, in 3 days, my kids come back and he's talking about things he's never talked about in 16 years. You know,
yeah.
Like, that's what I want to see. That's what I want to hear. Because then I know I'm doing my job as a coach. And it wasn't just like, oh, well, I get this, or I get paid this much money. It's like, none of those things matter to me. It's about that email from the parent saying, my kid's doing something different in 3 days at your program, you know, for 16 years of experience or whatever. Like, that for me is the biggest value.
Yeah.
So that's what I look for. I look for those experiences. Again, I love working with my friends. I love being in a collaborative environment. And so, you know, that's what I love to do with my programs.
What has there been a coaching moment where you're like, oh my god, how did my coaches do this?
Yeah,
because we have them all the time.
Always, yeah. No, there are, and again, like, I had some kid this year that was reaching out, and the kids weren't allowed to camp this year. We didn't do overnights, so this kid, he was like 17 or 18 years old. And like our coaches, we stay and we camp out and have fun and do whatever at night when the kids leave at 6 p.m. All of a sudden, this kid, like, he was getting in the van to leave with his group. He turns around, and I drop the kids off in my truck at the front of our gate. And the kid loops back to the thing, grabs his bag, sits shotgun right in my truck. And I'm like, what's up, dude? He's like, can I stay? And I'm like, what do you mean, can I stay? And he's like, no, can I stay? And I could tell, like, he really wanted to stay.
Yeah.
Because come to find out, he wasn't mentally well, and he had some trauma at home. He didn't want to go home, and I could kind of feel that. I could see his anxiousness when getting in and sitting shotgun and knowing that he wasn't supposed to stay, but he really wanted to. So I let him stay, and I let him, like, you know, he got hung out with the coaches all night, and we got had bonfire and talked about it, and then eventually he opened up.
Yeah,
and he started talking about, you know, his life and his unhappiness and his mental health and all these things. And I think about those moments, and that wasn't planned. I wasn't supposed to do that. He wasn't supposed to do that.
Yeah.
The fact that we were able to create that moment to help him, again, is what coaching is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the problems aren't there until they're right in front of your face. And so I think that for me was another example of, like, how coaching, you never can predict it, but when it happens and you use it and you coach properly, you get those results. And you see those days and you see these breakthroughs from these kids, and it's really rewarding.
Absolutely. We definitely have to talk about the World Cup, obviously being the former national team player.
Talk about that.
Yeah, good thing we got plenty of time left on this one, as I feel like it may take us a while. So, kind of, we'll do the whole soccer parents gate towards the end. So, kind of going from the beginning, the first game, one of the most interesting things I heard was there was kind of an opposite of where, like, the thing was, like, all the players had their own words. Like, they weren't, like, rumored with anybody, I guess, like, in years past. But yet you heard, like, in their lobby of where they were staying, like, all 20, so however many were all there, you know, playing pool, whatever. And one of the things that was interesting was after that first game, a former player had mentioned about, like, with the mistake that Zimmerman had made. He said, you know, the worst thing I think is that when he goes to bed tonight, he's the only person in that room. He's like, yeah, they can hang out in the lobby. He can talk to his teammates. He's like, but to be able to go to bed at night and your teammate look across your bed, hey, man, it's all right. Like, we got the next one. For you, like, in your experience, how much does that have an effect? Like, when you're around your teammates and even, you know, whatever the situation was sleeping-wise, like, when you played, but having those guys there just being, like, in that personal, intimate setting of, like, hey, like, it's going to be okay.
Well, I had Stu Holden as my roommate, so there was a lot of laughing. There was a lot of laughing and jokes and stuff to that. But to your point, I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, I do like roommates. I do like that kind of, you know, that person you can talk to in confidence, the person that's just always by your side. I think that is what teamwork and teams should do. You know, I do think creating those environments are important. Again, like, people make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But, again, it's always nice to have your brother by you, put your arm around him. Like, yo, bro, it's cool. Like, don't worry about it. We got another game to focus on. I know that would have been the message to him anyway. But that being said, to your point, you get back into that room and it's 11 o'clock and you can't sleep because you're just like thinking about it. You're playing it over and over again. You're not watching a movie with your buddy and thinking about something else. You're talking it through.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the other side too. Once you talk about it, let it through, you know, man, I'm pissed off that went in, man. That's such a big mistake. And I'll be like, yeah, I did one of those 2 games ago. You know,
yeah.
You start to have those conversations, and then all of a sudden that's released. And you don't think about it anymore. But to your point, I think that you do think about it more when you're alone, when you're just sitting there and you're with your own thoughts. And I think that's something maybe that didn't go the way that it should.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I think that roommates are great.
That's
the point. It's teamwork. It's team world.
Was do you think too? I've always wondered, obviously with the timing difference that it was this year, being in the winter time, it almost seemed like, because like I remember when they showed like the U.S. arriving. Well, one day there was like 4 guys that came in. Then the next day there was like 3 guys, so on, because their leagues were all changed at different times. How much do you feel like, not even if it was just the U.S., but maybe overall play was from these players coming straight from their club teams, going right in, compared to summertime? Normally, you know, all seasons are over with, so that way you get that a lot of time with your team before you guys all travel together.
Yeah, I mean, players, I mean, we just do what we have to do. You know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, idealistically, you'd want it to be different, but that was what's on the plate, so you just got to eat that. You know, at the end of the day, when it comes to how players deal with it, I don't think that there's many players thinking about that depth. You know, like, yeah, it's nice to have it, but if it's not on the plate, then you just got to deal with it. I think as players, you learn that pretty quickly. You're on somebody else's schedule. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you give up your schedule when you become a national team player. Like, you do. Like, you don't get your breaks. Everything is when all the other leagues are off, you're playing some tournament somewhere in some country. And so I think that's why, you know, international players retire early before they retire for their clubs, because it's just really hard. It's hard to manage time. It's hard to manage travel. It's hard to manage, you know, recovery. All those types of things. You know, these guys are, you know, I think in our World Cup here, you know, we had a week and a half off before we all met, which was a nice break. You know, a lot of players do like that break, because you can put the ball away for a little bit, you can see your family before you go to the biggest moment in your life. That does work. It helps, but you know, that wasn't in the cards this year because of this Winter World Cup, because of, you know, clubs having to shut down. You know what I mean? But the good thing is that you're not tired at the end of the season.
Because
you do wear too. Like, by the end of 52 games in season, you're in cups and you're doing well. Like, you're playing 40 to 50 games a season, and so you're coming in off of 50, and you're carrying a little knock, you're carrying a little knee wiggle that you have in 3 months, all that kind of stuff. And so I think those that's the biggest thing you miss, is that little bit of a recovery time, and to get your head and your body right. But that being said, this time it's mid-season, so you should be in mid-season form. You should be fit. You should not be carrying too many things. So I think that was an advantage for sure.
What do you think of the – I think we had the second youngest team there in the tournament. Do you think the way that the tournament went for them, that it's probably the best thing that could happen for them going into 2026, to where, hey, we got a really young group that just had this experience. They've kind of seen what it's like now. Because I mean, like, yeah, there were some veteran players on there, but you really saw, you know, for me, the emergence of Tim Weah. I think there was also, I mean, everybody and their brother is talking about Tyler Adams now. I think, you know, how much, because of the weather, I think in the U.S. media, we raised the bar way too high. I think, all my friends who are not soccer people, I go, oh, we're winning this year. Yeah. Which, you know, is all thanks to, we have to give a shout out to Pat McAfee, because he led the charge on the U.S. winning the soccer Lombardi this year. But, you know, how much do you think that pressure of being super successful, but going through what they went through, is really going to prepare them the most for when these guys are going to be in their prime in 2026?
Well, I think, you know, again, this tournament, we got what we deserve.
Yeah.
You know, we are not a good enough team to make a quarterfinal. We're not. We just are not that good yet, partly because of this age. You know, again, like, I believe that, you know, in order to get to a semifinal, a quarterfinal, these types of things where you're advancing through these rounds, your players have had to have been there before. Seriously.
Yeah.
The experience is so real in this game. And people think, like, again, like, I look at Canada, for instance. You know, I live in Canada. I have a lot of Canadian friends. And they came in, CONCACAF championship. You know, they deservedly the best team in CONCACAF through qualifying. Mm-hmm. But none of them played in a World Cup before. None of them have done those things. One guy plays in the Champions League, and they got wiped.
Yeah.
Because they came in with too much confidence, because it's different. You've got to have experience in this game to gain experience. And so within that, I see that. I see this young team coming in. Oh, can we win? Can we get to a quarterfinal? No way. With that group, a bunch of 21, 22, 23-year-olds, there's no way. We're getting out of that. Getting out of the group, cool. Yeah, that's what I thought. We'd get out of the group, and I think we got exactly what we deserved, because we're not good enough. We weren't consistent enough. We didn't use our squad enough. You know, you look at Argentina, the way they use their squad. You know, who thought Di Maria was going to start? but then again, that's what squad is. Fresh, he comes in, he's taking guys down the line, he scores. Like, that's why. That's why the squad game is so important. That's how you win World Cups, because it took that game right till the end. To use your squad at the right time.
Yeah.
And then a player like that who's played in Champions League finals, he's played at these levels. So he comes in and walks in like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we would have made that, guys can walk in with all this pressure because they've never been there before.
Yeah.
And so what I see is that we put ourselves back on the map. We're back. Mm-hmm. We're in the conversation. U.S. soccer's a good team. Good young team. Cool. Because we are. We're a good young team. But that's it. We're not a team that's going to go to quarterfinals and semifinals yet. But to your point, what I see is that in 4 years' time, imagine how many games Tyler Adams is going to play in the Prem.
They're going to be grizzled young vets then.
Exactly. Imagine the amount of goals Tim Way is going to score over the next 3.5 years at the highest level. Mm. So when World Cup's back on and the lights are on in his own country, he's going to do better.
Yeah.
He's going to have that experience now in his locker that's going to allow these young players to be 27 at the primes of their career and go and perform in their own country. So that's exciting for me. You know, I really am excited about this young group. We'll still find that goal scorer somewhere.
Yeah.
We have 3.5 years to find him. You know, is it Pepe? Is it all these places? Cool. Well, he's got to prove that. He's got to prove that he can score consistently at the highest level. And then can it transfer to a World Cup. When the pressure's on, you got billions of eyeballs on you, it's totally different when you're playing a World Cup. And so that's what I mean. Like, gaining that club experience is so important to these young players in the next 3.5 years, because you've got to walk into those big moments and know that you deserve to be there, but yet you got to be confident enough that when you're there, you're going to perform. And I think that's what we lacked. We didn't perform.
I felt too like, I want to say the coverage, they were talking about the leadership on the team and within the squad and whatnot. There was just like kind of that, like that old guy approach of like, they just needed the perfect right guy who was maybe in the last one or the one before that. That knew he probably wouldn't play much, but he could give so much. And I remember, I forget which commentator it was, but they asked Clint, they're like, hey, like, what would it be like if you were in the squad right now? And he was like, I'd be telling them everything that I know and just like hyping them up. And then he's like, you know, give me some boost. I can still, you know, get some goals that we need. You know, who from your playing experience with the national team, like in that situation, would you put with this group during this specific World Cup of like, you don't have the experience, but hey, here's this guy that's really like, maybe he can give us, you know, 50 minutes a game or whatever it may be, but he would be the most beneficial for this team.
Probably Steve Cherundolo. He's mainly because of his, it's like a calming influence. You know, I think Tim Ream gave that to this team, but he's, you know, again, but look at him, look at his experience. Mm-hmm. He walked in like a calm, cool guy that he is, and then he played like that. It's the same idea. You come in with this experience. He's like, okay, this is the World Cup, but I just played in a Premier League game 4 days ago, and I was marking Ronaldo, whatever. You know what I mean? So, again, he can come in with a little bit more confidence than maybe some of the other young guys that are coming in from some team that they play sometimes or they might have scored or whatever, but yeah, it's different when the eyes are on. And again, the World Cup feels different because it is different. So every 4 years, billions of people are feeling the weight of those eyeballs. And so the pressure is different. It's different. Again, you got your own hotel. Everything's different. You know, the security is 10 times what it normally is. It's just like everything is different. So like that's, again, where it goes back into the experience of who can be the calming influence in that locker room. And I think that, you know, Steve was that for us. He was kind of like the Philip Lahm leader.
Mm-hmm.
9 out of 10 every game, super consistent, never loses the ball, makes very few mistakes, calming influence in that locker room. He says people listen, he doesn't say much, but when he does, people listen because of the respect and his experience. And so I think that was always the thing, you know, with him. There's like 3 World Cups, you know, chill, super consistent on the field, and that's how he led.
Yeah.
He wasn't shouting at people, he wasn't trying to do things out of his character, and those are the influences that you need in the locker room, as well as the young buck who's going to come off and raise a strip off.
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, you need that diversity in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we had enough of that in this squad. I don't know. Partly because it was a lot of young guys.
Yeah.
You can't have that old head if there's if he's on there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the roster kind of looking at it, and I think like everybody else, like we all had public opinions about like what the roster looked like, and to me, I was like, okay, like, is this going to be the cup we're just going to throw these kids to the fire and be like, hey, like, figure it out.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. To me, it seemed like I felt roster-wise and kind of like you said, like, squad management and whatnot. It was just, like, so many times where you could pick 3 or 4 different players on the roster and you're like, what we're struggling with right now, that guy does that. Or, hey, we need this, and this guy does that really, really well. And I also kind of – and maybe it's just, like, I feel like – most people didn't really know a lot of the guys on the team. Like, obviously, we're going to know the Tyler Adams, the Pulisics, the Tim Weahs. But I feel like there were some of the names on there that I know people were just like, well, who's that guy? Who's he play for? You know, to you, like, how much do you think that goes into play to where maybe that lack of experience? Like, my non-soccer friends all said, as soon as we scored, they're like, why are we playing conservative? And like they were using basketball and football terms with me. Like one of them said, like, why are we playing a prevent defense right now? And I'm like, well, that's not really the goal. But I was really worried going into the cup, and I think the players and maybe it was the staff, whatever. But I was very worried that we were going to try to win every game 1-0, and it kind of like played into that a little bit. And I was like, you know, maybe that's because we don't have a goal scorer or whatnot, but. Did you at any point, especially, I mean, being a defender yourself, like, was there at any point where you're like, hey, like, you don't have to play defense for 60 minutes? Like,
yeah,
keep scoring.
A lot. Well, again, if you got fresh, young legs, you should be offensive.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, because you got to create. And so I wasn't disappointed in that, too. That conservative outlook with a pretty non-conservative team.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day.
Like, those kids want to go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, let them buck. Let them go out there and do what they think they're capable of. That young breed's naivety. And sometimes naivety can be your friend if you manage it properly or if you have a couple calm influences and leaders that can rein it in. Like, just pulling the rein. It's not rein, like, stopping the horse. It's just rein it, steering it. So that's what I think maybe... You know, I think maybe we lack. I think Tyler Adams really brings that to this team, and that's why I really like him.
He's also become the king of shithousery, and I love it.
Yeah. Oh, and again, there's that edge, though.
Yeah.
That edge is what you need, and you need players to do that. And I was a little bit disappointed we didn't have any young bucks come out and really, really make their mark.
Yeah.
You know, like, because again, like, I come from that. I didn't have any chat. I had, like, you know, people were saying that about me when I came. Who's this guy?
Yeah.
No one's ever heard of me, but I use those games to make people know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so within that, like, I bring that back to the players. Like, you know, I had to take it upon myself to show who I was. You know, I wasn't waiting for people to know who I was just because I'm playing games. Like,
mm-hmm.
I got to put my mark on this game, too. I don't see that enough as I would like.
Mm-hmm.
These players, like, stepping in and waiting for this opportunity to sit on the bench for 2 years. Now I get my shot, and I'm now the best player on my field, or I'm deservingly now in the conversation. Like, that's the guy. Where did he come from? Instead of, like, who's that guy? It's like, how did we get there?
How much of that can be, like, I feel like the entire country puts so much on Christian. And, like, everyone's expecting him to do everything. They want him to score 3 goals a game. And, like you said, like, there are some guys out there who could step up, use a statement game, showcase who they are. But it felt like everybody in the world was just, like, waiting for Christian to just blow up. and showcase his talents to the world when, like, we've seen it for years now. Like, there was a time, like, hey, like, Tim Weah, hey, step up. Like, show what you can do.
And he did that in the first game.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Like, we didn't see much of him. You know what I mean? And that was disappointing because I thought, and again, that finish was world class. Like, that's what you want. That's
yeah.
our number nine. That's the guy that can do that. Play that, slash through outside of the right, left. You know, that's a world class goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a World Cup goal. But, you know, then that stuff had kind of dried up. And again, was it because of our conservative approach? Did we let him buck for the rest of the tournament? No, he probably pulled the reins. Let's bring in the guys. You know what I mean? And then it kind of didn't go that way. And so I think that maybe was a little bit of a mistake. You know, like you've seen him on a high. Let him keep bucking.
Right.
Let him keep going.
I just, like, even from a Monday morning quarterback type position, like, you look at that roster, and like you said, like, you got kids out there who can fly. And, you know, people who, like, their whole idea is, give me the ball, I'm going to the goal. Like, whatever it takes. And to sit here and think, like, I'm coaching at the biggest stage, and knowing, like, this is how those players are, we're going to just reel them back. And it's like, I had a college professor that always told us that his whole thing was he was going to hold us over the edge and for failure. And he wanted us to succeed to fail so that way he could pull us back. And it was like, Tim scores that great goal. Everybody and their brother's like, all right, we're like, America's here, babe. We're getting it. And it was like, literally the moment that happened, I feel like once we got defensive and conservative, the rest of the tournament, as fans, we were just like, where is this? And it like unfairly allowed media and fans to like criticize Tim and criticize Christian and criticize these other players. And I think that's what helped put more of a focus on like our triangle in the middle, because we were playing so conservative and so much defensive work that those three were just working their asses off in the middle, literally doing everything. And Walker's catching heat because he's having to do 20 different things. Tim's doing so many different things. We kept changing our outside backs every other time. I don't know that we played the same four for a whole game. I know there was, I want to say, like, the how many guys that played in the first game wasn't the same guys who changed in defensively in the second game or the third game. How much of that does come from the staff? Like, just one person be like, hey, let him go. Like, just play the game.
Well, I think that's how we've talked about this a lot with the U.S. national team about the lack of identity.
Yeah.
What is the setup? Who are we?
We're more than Christian.
What are our values? Who do we do? How do we set up? What identity do we have as a team? You could ask that to every media person and every person that loves the game, and you'll hear 40,000 different answers.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, in my opinion. That is the problem, you know, in all honesty, I think. You know, it's the same way that you can't predict the team. Like, in a way, if you're doing the right things, you should be able to predict the team.
Yeah.
Really, you should. And the fact that we couldn't, the fact that every time it was different, again, that doesn't transfer well generally to consistent results. It doesn't. It just doesn't work like that. And so I think that was a little bit disappointing, because I'm still asking the question.
Yeah.
We will probably for the next 3.5 years, depending on what coach comes in. But I hope that we bring in a coach if Greg isn't the guy, which I mean, again, no disrespect to him, but I don't know if he is anymore. Because of that, I wanted someone to come in and say, this is who we are, this is what we do. And then we got 3 years to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day.
Like, let's build a freaking monster.
Yeah. Well, again, because we do have the young players to do that. But again, do those players know how they fit into this group? Do the players know what setup that we're playing every week? No, they don't.
Was it one of those cases where, like, you hear so much now, like, in the Premier League? Like, you hear, like, with Chelsea, for example, like, Graham Potter is trying to play the Brighton way, but he's got Chelsea players. So it doesn't really work. He needs Brighton players to play the Brighton way, or he needs Chelsea players to play the Chelsea way. Do you kind of feel like with the U.S. squad, like that was kind of thing, like Greg had his way of play, but no one on that roster, or, you know, very limited amount of people on that roster, played that way that he wants to play?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point, and I think it's very true. Like, I think that is what happened. You know, and it just brings in confusion, too. Like, when you're chopping and changing, you don't know who's playing, you got other guys that are coming in. Yes, of course, you used your squad like we talked about, but I don't think it was as calculated as it should be by using the squad. You know, yes, you use your squad. Yes, you have to use your squad. You got to play other guys in other positions because that's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
But especially if you want to get out of the group, you want to go play into the next rounds and still be fresh and have the right squad doing things. But that should be very calculated in the approach. And I don't think our approach was calculated.
How many conversations were you having with former teammates? I know I talking with a couple other former national team players, you know, they just said, you know, their text messages with their teammates during the cup, and, you know, the positives at the very beginning, but all of a sudden just kind of started trending downwards a little bit. You know, if you were having conversations, I mean, kind of what was that like, that kind of like the general consensus amongst the guys you put with while you all were watching?
I mean, again, I was watching most of the guys on TV talking about
it. Yeah.
my teammate friends. So I think, you know, for me, it was the same. It was almost like it was a lack of consistency in the answers to, because people are asking me, like, what's going on? Like, what did you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, every time it's different. I don't know who to trust. I don't know which player's stepping up. I love Tyler Adams. I love what he brings to this group. I love Antoine Robinson. I love all those guys, and I can see their talent. So that gets me excited. But I'm like, I don't know how we set up. I don't know how we're playing. You can't predict it. You don't know. And mm-hmm. that's a problem. Again, that's where I think we got it wrong.
Yeah. It seems to me like, if the potential of a new coach comes in, you know, everybody has their own opinion. Oh, we need to have a coach with Champions League experience. We need to have a coach that's going to get players in these specific teams. And I think that you really made a point that I now, when I think about the potential coach, of like someone who's going to create an identity. And I think if there's a way to, like, I know it's the world's game, but there's a way that we can Americanize this team a little bit with the athleticism that we have in America. And I think if we, you know, hell, like, let's get Ricky Bobby as our coach. Like, let's just, like, get somebody who comes there and is like, look, like, we're just going to go fast. And I think that could be the difference to where, like, you know, everybody's clamoring, oh, like, we should go get Zidane. Well, like, what's he going to do with our team? Yeah, like, I don't know how that works.
Probably, but again, those guys, do they even respect America?
Right, right.
And I think he's too big.
Yeah.
He's not going to come in off of Champions League titles and winning them as a player and being in those environments and being best friends with the best players in the world. He's going to come in here. He's going to think that, like, it's like that, like, how really good players are not very good coaches sometimes.
Yeah.
It's kind of that idea. It's like, we're the little brother that is trying to fight for this reputation. Like, we need someone that's going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fight for this reputation and say, we are that. Let's bring this identity and let's say it's a kind of idea, which again, I think should come from America. America. There's enough Americans that have played around this world and had these successes that we can probably find one,
mm-hmm.
you know, that will do that and provide an identity. Because again, to your point, you gotta understand American soccer.
Yeah.
You're an American soccer coach. You do. You have to. It's the only way that it works to get what's necessary on your players. Even if your players play all over the world, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the identity of the club, or the team. And it's the identity of how you play within that setup, with the player setup that you have. And I think, you know, I don't know which American coach it would be, but again, Stevie Trundle is on my mind. But again, he wins an MLS championship in his first season.
Yeah.
I'm good friends with him. I talk to him all the time. He does bring that calming energy. He does that have that European experience.
Yeah.
He's been a captain. He was captain. You know, he was the mayor of a German town for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In a high level, very, very high level, and knows that pressure. And now a proven winner in his first year. So I don't know. Maybe they can poach him from LA. I don't know if he'd like that, but because I know he likes his role at LA right now. But you know, someone like him, he understands the identity of the players. He understands the identity of his country. But he's got this experience of Europe.
Ignite your passion for soccer coaching here. The 2024 United Soccer Coaches Convention in Anaheim is not just an event, it's an experience. This year, we're featuring some of the biggest names and minds in soccer. Leonard Griffin from Cal Men's Soccer, Carla Thompson of San Diego Wave FC, and the incomparable Randy Waldrum, head coach of the Nigeria Women's National Team. Dive into immersive field sessions that cover contemporary topics from transition tactics in modern play to the evolution of goalkeeper training. But that's not all. The business of soccer flourishes inside the exhibit hall. Witness hundreds of brands from around the world unveil the latest products and services hitting the market and personally engage with industry leaders from across the globe. This is your chance to learn from the best and discover the future of soccer, both on and off the field. And here's the kicker. Prices are set to increase after December 13th, so why wait? Use the promo code SoccerChat24, that's SoccerChat24, and join us at a special price of $425. Shape the future of soccer with knowledge from the best in the business. Download the United Soccer Coaches Convention mobile app today to view the full lineup of presenters at the world's largest event for soccer coaches. You can join us today at a discounted rate just by making sure to use the promo code SoccerChat24 when you register for the 2024 United Soccer Coaches Convention.
Is there a player in there, you know, or a former teammate that's coaching now that's kind of like I feel like with U.S. soccer, it's always, you hear all the time, the good old boy network, basically. You know, it's just, it's kind of a revolving door. You know, is there a teammate of yours or someone that played in the national team who's currently coaching that doesn't really fit that good old boy network that's like, that cat would be great for us? Because I think, I guess, fans, like, that's kind of like our fear of, like, we're just going to get the next guy who was buddy-buddy with the right person. Yeah.
I see that.
Or he went, like, below 500 in the MLS, but he plays an attractive style of soccer. That was, okay, so that's the, I have to get that off my chest. When Greg was hired, everybody's like, oh, he plays such an attractive style of soccer. But, like, what did it do? Nothing. And, like, that U.S. team was not going to look like those Columbus teams. Like, I just, I, that's my soapbox. I'm done on that.
Yeah, no, no, and I agree. I would say the same thing. And whoever comes in, again, going back to that identity piece of, like, you know, using the right Americans to do the right American job. And then having to make sure that all those Americans that come in understand that this is our American team and this is what we are. I mean, is that happening? I don't know, because I don't think our results are showing that.
I fear, and I've had some people talk about this from this previous World Cup, is like, as a coach, especially as a head coach, like, you've got to surround yourself with people who, yes, they support you, but they challenge you. And if you have an idea, like, that they're not just going to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good idea, do that. Oh, and like, hey, I think we should move this guy here. Well, but if we do that, they're going to be able to do this all the time, and he does this really well. It felt like, and I don't know all the assistants by any means, but it felt like we didn't have those coaches who challenged our head coach during this. Because I feel like, you know, like you said, like, all right, hey, Tim's going to run, he's going to score, and all of a sudden we pull him back and we're conservative. Why wasn't there someone that was like, hey, like, he's not, like, that's not what he does. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Well, I think that depends on the manager, in all honesty. You know, some coaches want that, and some coaches, they don't.
Yeah.
It's an ego thing. It's like, well, I'm the head coach, and I make the say, you know, I do the things. Like, it depends on the coach.
Yeah.
Some coaches are collaborative. They want, if I'm a coach, I'm collaborative, and I'm bringing in people that aren't like me, so then they can do the things I can do.
Yeah.
And then collectively, we're making decisions. Like, for real. Like, that's the way I would coach. And then it's up to me to manage the players as the head. And then from there, it's like, you know, can you bring that diversity?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if there's much diversity in there.
Right.
You know, from a coaching point.
So I have taken over U.S. soccer. I'm the president, and I'm firing Ernie Stewart. Jada Merritt, you are the GM now, which I think the whole GM stuff is whatever. So you get to go on the hiring process, and I'm going to let you hire a head coach, and we're going to say three assistant coaches. And whether they have coaching experience or not,
Am I allowed to coach?
Yes.
Well,
see, because that was something I was going to ask. Like, is that a thought? Like, you're like, hey, like, let me get into a role somehow and get with this team.
It was funny. I was talking to Steve about this. So again, I'm hiring Steve. And just him and I talked about this last time I was in LA, and I was staying with him. And I'm like, why don't I want to coach the defense? That's it. I don't want to coach anyone how to pass because I wasn't a good passer.
Yeah.
I was in lockdown B. So
could you be
like,
the United States national team defensive coordinator? Yes.
So I got
dude.
I got this idea. I was like, why aren't there defensive coordinators in soccer?
Yeah.
Why? I would love to coach.
You want to come to Brescia and be our defensive coordinator?
Yeah, dude. When I do sessions, like as a guest coach with my friends and their coaches and stuff, I'll go out and I'll just be like, they'll be like, hey, can you come out to the session and do some stuff with us?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, I'll come out to the session, but I'm not coaching the session. I'm coaching a defensive session because that's where my skill set's.
Yeah.
I'm not coaching something with some drill about some shooting thing. I'm like, I'll come out and I'll do a defensive session, and that's what we'll do because that's what I know.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think that as a coaching level, should be more like that.
Mm-hmm.
It should be like, bring in a defensive coordinator to coach the defense. Bring in a winger to coach all the stuff.
Well, it's interesting you say that because like when you think of a national team staff, we don't really hear like what this assistant's good at. What's this assistant?
Yeah,
to
what's
table?
He doing?
Yeah,
what's his role?
Like, is Greg just running all the sessions together? Like, is that assistant coach insert and say, oh hey, but in this situation, make sure of this. And I've always. It's funny that we both said the defensive coordinator thing because I have jokes about that so much lately. Like, the guy that's on our staff currently, he used to joke that when he was a high school head coach and I was his assistant, he was like, Sean's our offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Just because, like, that's how my mind works. Like, now, like, I want to know, like, okay, like, hey, this assistant coach, what's he bring to the table? Is he just there to, like, tell you, yeah, that works? Or, like, oh, yeah, hey, Jay's going to be our defensive guy. He's working primarily with the defenders. You know, Clint's going to be our striking guy or our finishing coach. Yes. He's working primarily with finishing. And, you know, whoever. Again,
that also stems now to the depth of the player, too. Because yeah. The player's like, oh, shit, I watch that guy play.
Yeah.
I respect that guy as a national team player. Now I get to listen to him. Now I have, like, a better relationship with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if I come in and I'm coaching the D, and young players had seen me play or do whatever, they'd be like, okay, I trust that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, same idea, the guys up front.
Like, it's just like an NBA, too. Like, yeah, like you see the guy who's played in the finals before, and you're like, yeah, if he's telling me this, like, I need to do that.
So Clint Dempsey comes in, he's talking about, you know, scoring in these games or what's it like to be like that. And you're like, here's what you should do. This is what I did, but this is a version of that, and I'm coaching that.
Yeah.
I'm listening as a player much more
absolutely
concise because I'm respecting that guy first,
mm-hmm.
and because he's done it. And I don't know if there's enough of that either. You know, most managers bring in their buddies.
Yeah.
Because it either lifts them up as the manager, and lifts their ego, and doesn't, you know, because then you're the boss. But are they complementing each other enough?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Are they diverse enough where, like, they bring in different skill sets of how you manage the team?
Is there enough of those former players that have, I guess, the required coaching licenses that, like, you could put that all-star group together of, like, you know, If let's say you go with Steve as the head coach, and then he gets four guys that he can bring that are former players that are coaches, or if there's some ways, because apparently U.S. Soccer is showing, like, you don't have to have a license, but they'll figure out a way to get you one, that, like, those group and say, like, I in my mind, like, I'm thinking just off topic, like, let's say you did Steve, let's go you, Deuce, and, gosh, like, two more, who would you throw in with that group? If we're like, hey, this is the group that we're going to put together.
I think, like, maybe, no, probably not.
I guess we have to have a goalkeeper coach.
Yeah, but, you know, Tim, I would say probably Brad, maybe Brad Guzan.
Yeah,
you know, goalkeeper.
Like, we want only, like, the hardest dudes.
Yeah, when you want, you, like, Brad is, like, you know, he's like a big bear. Like, he's, like, he's aggressive when he wants to be. Yeah. He's a nice guy. He's comforting.
I saw him the other night, and we were doing our celebrity interviews where the people don't look like the person. I was gonna walk up back, oh, so, like, you think you're Brad Friedel? And he'd be like, no, you're not. Now that you say that, like, the thing I like about him compared more to Tim Howard is I like the fact that Brad played on, kind of like yourself, like, played on these, like, quote unquote lower level prim teams where, like, the thing I loved that they would always say about Brad is, like, Brad's standing on his head making 30 saves every game for Villa. But, like, that's what's going to make him a better player for the U.S. because he's not having to make 35 saves. He just has to make 3 or 4 in a U.S. game. And, like, we need dogs, man.
Yeah,
like,
no, I agree. And again, if we're American, we need them.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're like. That's what we drive from. That's who we are. And so I would agree with you. And I think that is something that's lacking.
Yeah.
So we're going to.
Dude, man, like, I'm sitting here, like, this is, like, the game that, like, my non-soccer friends, especially during this World Cup, where I was, like, it was so funny, like, second half of the first game, I'm working a camp down in Atlanta, and just, like, my non-soccer friends, our coach sucks, who is this dude, this is, like, stuff, and they're, like, well, who would you bring in, like, you know, you're in charge of whatnot. And, like, this is the game that, like, I play constantly in my mind, and I hate the you know, I'm of the firm belief, like, you don't have to have a master's degree to know how to do something. You don't have to have an A license to know how to coach. Like, I have so many friends that are Division I head coaches, or, you know, that are head coaches in college that don't have any license. And so to me, it's like, in this situation with a national team, like, if, and I don't know if Clint has a coaching badge or anything like that, but, like, you're telling me, like, if Clint Dempsey comes up to U.S. soccer, he's like, hey, Cindy, I want on the staff. That they're going to be like, no, you can't. Like, I feel like, again, I think that it's that, maybe it's the Nick Sirianni and the Eagles' fault for, like, the dogs. Like, but, like, I feel like that's something that we can take. And, like you said, like, that's the American identity. Like, you know, you see all the memes now of, like, the x-ray of the lungs and the dogs on the inside. It was like, you know, like, I feel like that's what we need. And, like, maybe somebody like yourself and Micah Clint, maybe – I don't know if Steve would come out on this first press conference, but, like, we're going to be dogs, you know? Like, that ain't happening.
But then you bring in the other dogs, and then they teach the dogs. You know what I mean? Like, that's the idea. Like, you need a couple of them, at least. Maybe not all dogs, because you got to be pretty, too. You got to, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you need more.
Yeah.
I agree, we need more.
Because I think, like, that's the mentality, like, I kind of felt like this team, yes, you know, what was our identity, but there was like, we were maybe like too much nature boy Ric Flair. Like, we were kind of about the presentation, and half that's probably our own fault for like the marketing campaigns and stuff like that. But like, I felt like Zimmerman and Ream were really kind of the only like bad boys almost, and not because they have long hair, but well, maybe that was a factor. But like, that's the thing I kind of think about, like going back to like the 94 team. And I always use them as examples, like that was a team that like got me hooked. Earrings, long hair, beards. I joke with Ronaldo about like the perfect model hair, you know. And it's just like, yeah, they weren't the greatest team in the world, but they were dogs. Like, you know, they played as hard as they could, and it wasn't, there was no flash, there was no flair. It's just get the ball in the back of the net. How much, like, you know, a player like yourself now, like watching this now, going like coaching things like that, how much do you say like, hey, like I want to do this because I'm invested in it because I was a part of it and I know I want it to be better. Kind of like, you know, when a college coach leaves and like one of the alumni is like, I want to do that. Like, I want to make it better because I was there and I want to get it to where it can be. Like, is that kind of like a talk amongst the players and like, hey, like, let's all get together and form something.
I mean, a little bit. We've talked about it. You know, like our group, like, I mean, our chat group.
I feel like your group's the dogs.
Yeah, 100%. No, and our group.
We're changing the group text name on the phone right now to the dogs.
No, our group that I still. I mean, there's a group of us. It's Steve, me, Tim Howard, Brad, Dan, Carlos Bocanegra, Heath Pierce, Stu Holden. It's our little chat group.
Yeah.
And we talk about it sometimes, like, yeah. When we roll, and like, I'd be like, I'm always like, I'm deep, I'm defensive coordinator,
yeah.
Like, that kind of thing. And I'd like to see more of that. I just don't know if U.S. soccer would do that.
But what a game changer would be, though. And I think like, there's a drive of like, I feel like when a coach is hired, and obviously Burrows was like the last one that we've had hired, like there was no like excitement when the announcement was made. And I don't think that we got any new fans when it was announced. But could you imagine, like, you know, take that group that you were just talking about, like the dog staff's coming, press conference. We got Trelundo, we got Demare, we got, you know, all these guys, and y'all show up, and yeah, Steve's a quiet, hey, this is what we're going to do, this is going to be, and then you and Howard in the back just barking at Guzanston, they're just like looking like Steve Austin, getting exactly. Ready to Stone Cold stun somebody. And how many more fans do we pick up from that? Because like, the thing I love was like, I don't know that what U.S. soccer did created new fans. Like, taking those non-soccer fans and making them go, yes, I'm a U.S. soccer fan. When you look at I always bring it up because it's so fascinating, like the Pat McAfee show, how he was, like, turning non-soccer people into, like, hell yeah, the U.S. is going to win. I mean, even though it's the Soccer Lombardi they kept calling the World Cup, which I thought was funny. You know, how does U.S. soccer get that, like, hey, we're going to make, like, yeah, hey, we may not know what we're doing, but we're going to get these guys together who are going to figure it out. We're going to give them the 4 years to get it figured out. You know, how, like, do you feel like that's something that could, like, kick it up a notch? Like, maybe get more of those former players to come around and be like, hey, yeah, like, let's, like, yeah, it's the four of you all, but the training sessions, you know, Landon shows up, Clint shows up, DeMarcus shows up, Marie shows up.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. Like, where is the alumni?
Yeah.
Why are we going to do these at the clubs, too? Like,
like, they talk about the brotherhood, but where are they at?
There's one alumni at the Whitecaps now. Not one, bro. Not one. There's one from 1979.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, 60.
Yeah.
No 10-year-old even knows who he is. So it's like, I think a lot of clubs get that wrong. I think the U.S. national team gets that wrong. Where are the alumni? They're all doing media because that's the only opportunity they have to talk about the U.S. national team.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in it. They're not trying to, like, be a part of it. We're not feeling heard. We're not feeling like we're, you know, like alumni that have been and done things. You know what I mean? Because we have. We've done a lot of cool things and not sure. But, I think there should be more of that. I think there could be more of that. I think it should be something that, you know, people focus on. But again, if I'm a coach, I'm using alumni all the time for engagement. You want to talk about growth in the game? We should be out for the next, you know, the year leading up to the World Cup. All of us should be going back to our hometowns. All of us should be going, you know, together. We should do some kind of like fan thing.
Barnstorming tour.
Everyone's in.
Yeah.
All the old school guys are back. We're doing some event around it. We're growing the game. But you gotta show up to do that. You gotta create the event. But that costs money. You know what I mean? Like, you know how much money these guys got? Like, why don't they spend it? Why don't they spend it on creating engagement instead of trying to figure out like what jersey to buy? Or do this one tie dye so that like maybe we'll get more jersey sales. It's like, you want
jersey
sales? get to know the players and love them.
Yeah.
And then you're going to buy jerseys.
Dude, I'm telling you straight up, like, I only own two U.S. jerseys. And the only reason I got the first one was I got to go to a qualifying game in 2010, I believe. Because that was the gray and white stripe pattern, or gray and white hoop pattern, I believe,
yeah.
With, like, the small red stripe. And my buddies and I were like, all right, we're going to game. Soccer.com was running a sale where you get jerseys for, like, $40. We're like, all right, we're on. We're going to win. And so, like, one of my good buddies, he's got a Trundle jersey. And I was like, all right, why are you getting him? He's like, because he's the old dude, just like me. Like, you know, we're the calm spoken guys. And, you know, another guy got, I forget who he got because it was, like, his favorite number. And at the time, it was before the Hacksaw comment. So I wish I would have known the Hacksaw thing at the time. And I was just like, man, like, Deuce is a dog, man. Like, so I only own two U.S. jerseys, and they're Clint Dempsey. And I've since said, like, I'm gonna go on eBay and find the ones from when you played. I'm gonna find, like, the print. I'm gonna get the Demerit 6, and, like, that's gonna be the only one I wear for the rest of my life. Because, like, there's no guys.
I got a few at home. I'll send you.
Oh, dude. Oh, man. That'd be amazing. Because, like, this year, like, my wife's like, hey, like, you're gonna get a jersey for the tournament. I'm like, no. And it's not the whole, like, oh, the kids are now younger than me, so I don't want to wear a young kid's jersey or name on my back. Jersey rule number one, they say.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, like, that emotional attachment, like you said, like, I don't know that it's there anymore. And it's funny you bring that up because we were just talking this morning. There was a bunch of people hanging out here, and they said, man, like, there used to be so many former national team people who would come to convention. And, you know, Tab used to come all the time. And I don't know how much of that because the draft's not here anymore and whatnot, but, like, there was always those guys here. And, you know, this year, you're here, Alexi was here. Those are, like, the only two that I've seen. I mean, there may be more. I know Carly Lloyd came in yesterday. But, like, I can remember, like, the first year I went, Greg Ryan had just got fired from the women's national team, so he was here. Lawless was here. Bruce Arena was here. Ronaldo was here. Marcelo Balboa was here. Like, that's kind of, like, gotten away to where now it's kind of, like, you know, is it the new sports pedestal that we put people on? Like, oh, like, we can't go to that stuff anymore. So, like, that's why it's so dope that, like, you've come to this now. And, like,
well,
you're
I
out
want
here.
I come every year because I learn about the game more.
Even if you don't present, we'll make you a Soccer Chat producer and you can get the media tag and
go.
Come with us, man.
There you go. And again, that's I feel like that's what it's about. And I see that. And again, I'm disappointed in that there aren't more guys
yeah.
here. It should be an alumni weekend.
Oh, yeah.
This is when we all should come in. I, you know, a lot of guys are coaching. A lot of guys are busy. They have other things that they got on the plate, the jobs that they do. But, you know, if you care about the game, if you care about, you know, the growth of the game, if you care about the people of the game, that's
yeah.
what I do. I come here to talk to you and talk to all the people that I know love this game so much.
That's the police looking for the dogs for us right now.
Yeah, that's right.
No kidding. No kidding.
And so, yeah, you know, like, that's what I enjoy about this stuff. You know, you see so many soccer people in the room. And again, like, I just spoke on a panel this morning, and again, all these people are in this room listening to me. And I'm like, why aren't more guys here?
Yeah.
Like, I have thought about that since the weekend. I'm like, where? Like, I want to see my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I got a couple ex-MLS guys that I know are here doing other soccer projects. That's why they're
mm-hmm.
here. You know, again, I'm working.
Oh, Jimmy Conrad's here too. I saw him.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I saw Jimmy.
Coach Jimmy.
Yeah. But again, like, there should be more. I agree.
Yeah.
And again, we should be doing more things. It should be. And again, I wasn't supposed to speak until I told this guy that I was coming.
Mm.
I'm like, because I came for this for the O'Neill brand that I represent through my camps and stuff. And they're an awesome Irish company that I'm doing some work with. So I'm kind of coming with them. But I'm like, I'm coming. Like, let's
yeah.
get me involved. Like, whatever you want me to do, I'm in. And so, because that's the point. Like,
let's do a dogs panel next year. Call your boys up. We'll talk to somebody who's in charge of getting the speakers and be like, all right, Jay's going to do a dog panel. We're going to get all these U.S. dudes to come back. And, like, maybe that kickstarts getting the alumni back.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll bring Ernie in, too.
So yeah. Hey, Ernie, we need to chat.
See it. Yeah, you can see us all working together and be like, that's
oh, man. Like, it's just, it's so cool. And, like, I know, like, on my end, like, I said this last year, and it's like, my wife always jokes, I'm always like, oh, you're my friend Jay or my friend this. And she's like, they're not your friends. Like, you talk to them online. But, like, you know, it's so cool, like, to be able to chat with you and, like, to get to know you. And we do – I do have to mention that y'all didn't know this last year because we recorded the episode. And then I went out with Jay that night. And it was very famous. And I realized last night because somebody was asking me about, like, what was my most favorite part of last year's convention. And I was like – I was at PBR Big Sky in Jay and I were dancing to House of Pain, Jump Around. And the person was like, oh, did somebody get, I was like, yeah, I got on video. Searched my phone, and I did like a massive wipeout of stuff the other day, and it wasn't on there. And I'm like, I know I sent it to someone. Yeah. So if you're listening to this and I sent you that video, I need that back. But like, I remember like the next morning, like my wife calls me. She's like, hey, like, what'd you do last night? I was like, I don't know what Jay DeMar. And she was like, stop. And I was like, yeah. If you take me back to 2014, you know, with all my friends, we all got our 2x4 screaming out Hacksaw every time your name gets announced. And fast forward, I'm like, I would never put two and two together. And I tell somebody last night too, I was like, it was so funny because, like, you know, we're hanging out, you know, just being dudes, like, we're not playing X's and O's with the salt shakers and stuff like that. And then I was like, you know, and Jason was like, hey, Kyle's going to be here in like 30 minutes. Yeah. And I'm like, who's Kyle? And I was like, then Kyle Martino just walks in. I'm like, oh, what's up? I was like, and then we took the most ridiculous picture at 2:30 in the morning. And my wife, like, looked at the timestamp and was like, really, guys? I'm like, yeah, man. Like,
yeah.
We're dogs, you know?
That's how
we roll,
too. Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. That's
but, like, I just, like, I know if Nick was here, he would be thanking you because, like, it's so cool that you take time out to come chat with us. But I can tell you just selfishly from my point, like, I don't know if we are friends. I call my soccer people, like, those are my network colleagues. Yeah. I don't know if we're friends, we're network colleagues. But, like, I truly, like, man, like, went from being, like, a huge mark for you to, like, man, like, I genuinely, like, love and like this dude. Like, I feel like I can consider him a friend, and like, I want to change the world, and I feel like that you're one of those people too. And now, like, I'm on a mission. Like, we're gonna make Jay DeMarrett the defensive coordinator of the U.S. national team.
Mark that here.
Right now it is January 14th. Great number, by the way. Jay DeMarrett for, I don't know who the next coach is gonna be, but whoever it is, if they don't hire Jay as our defensive coordinator, we're messing this thing up. But man, like, thank you so much for chopping it up with us, and I know that our fans love when you come on. They loved it last year. I know my friends who I all played soccer with, like, they get insanely upset. They're like, we want to talk to Jay too. So you may have to come visit me one weekend.
Yeah,
and all the Indiana dogs will come out.
Yeah.
But man, like, thank you so much for chopping it up with us.
No, easy. You know, and this is the type of thing I really enjoy. You know, like, when you love the game and love the people of this game. And again, like, I you know, whether it's through leadership roles I had in my club, but also just being from a place like Green Bay, like, there's nothing more important to this game than the people in it. Like, it is, and the fans are about it. That's why I love going out with fans. I love hanging out with fans, drinking with fans, hanging out, doing my thing, because that's what I'm like. That's what I'm like. And mm-hmm. I'm not gonna stay home because I think I'm like on some pedestal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, again, I don't come from that world. I'm not like that. You know, like, I was built with a humble approach because I had to have one to do what I did. And so, like, for me, like, it's a pleasure to come here. It's a pleasure to stop, like, to chop it up and do the things that we do and go out and have beers and talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we.
I've got a schedule for this evening. If you want to know, we'll talk about that off later.
We'll do that tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, again, I got good friends here that all come in for this one reason. And that, the reason is this game. And so, you know, again, like, I love this game as much as you do. And it's just about, you know, getting the most out of it. And if I'm, like, coming here, sitting in my hotel room, doing a talk and then leaving, like, what am I getting out of that?
Right.
I'm getting on me, my ego.
Are you slowly becoming from Hacksaw to the People's Champion instead of the Rot, the Demerit? Like, are we seeing a transition in character here? So many people are like, everybody's like, God, with these wrestling and soccer references, right, what is this dude doing? Oh my God. So next time you're in your group text with your boys, you need to be like, hey, my buddy has done this thing since we played in 2014 where his friends who didn't know anything about soccer, but they were wrestling fans, all gave all of us names. Who would you make yourself out to be? And I want to know what the answers are for those people. And we may have to have an episode of Soccer Chat where they're like, all right, yeah, so-and-so, 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 so-and-so. But you're slowly transitioning into The Rock.
I'm trying to think who the Hardy Boys would be. Like, do we got any, like, buddy groups?
I was just, because there's no brothers that have played.
Yeah.
Who's, like, the risk taker? Because I was like Jeff Hardy singing. He's always jumping off of stuff. Like, I don't know. Well, when you posted your video, I'm glad you brought that up. Your video you posted, I think, right before the World Cup, of one of your memories, and somebody bet you that you couldn't or that you wouldn't jump into the river.
The river, yeah.
Dude, like, that whole behind the scenes thing, like, I was there, like, my wife could have cared less, but I was like, look at this. It's like, how, like, this was like social media content before there was social media content. I was like, how cool is this?
Yeah, well, I got a text from Tim saying, like, dude, you gonna take that down? I'm like, for what? I'm like, why am I taking that down?
You're right.
It's awesome. It's fun. It's showing that we got good banter.
Yeah.
The whole point of me posting that was to show the camaraderie of the group.
Yeah.
We're all laughing at each other. We're all doing things. I'm super flying into some dirty river for fun as a bet.
Yeah.
You know, to win our per diem money.
Locker room guy. You
exactly.
Know?
And I think even in the post I talked about, like, this group loved each other.
Yeah.
Which we did. We loved playing with each other. We loved having each other's backs. And I see that and I hear that from the locker room now, mm-hmm. with this group of current players. I just think that they're too young. They're too young to do whatever we
Nobody's jumping in a random river.
No, and they're not crazy like that anymore. Yeah. They can't. Because they're not going to film it and they're not going to post it because somebody will say something. But like, I wish we could get those names back. I wish we could get those camaraderie moments back, because that's what it is. That's teamwork.
Yeah.
That's guys I'll fight for every day of the week, because we're out there golfing on our day off, having a couple beers and swanning in the rivers and stuff, laughing at each other, having a blast. Like that's what you want, because on Saturday or on that next game, I'm fighting for that dude.
Yeah.
I know I like him. I know he's got my back. I know we have fun together. So let's go out on the field and have some fun together too. Like, there's no transfer in my opinion. I think it's the same. Yeah. That's why, like, I'm a big guy. Again, I'm known for partying and all these things, and sometimes that hurts my reputation because people think that's all I do.
Yeah,
it's not true. I do that too, but I'm good at that.
Yeah.
Why would I not do that? Why not
play hard to work harder?
Exactly. And so I'm going to go sit in my room because I'm, like, you know, no way, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I'm going out and having some beers and having some fun. If I got training tomorrow, cool. I'm not missing that either. I'm on time. I'm first one there. I'm not messing that up. I know my priorities, and I don't match those up. That's how you get to the levels that I got to. So. You know, again, I want to see more of that. I want to see more of that camaraderie. I want to do some crazy, stupid things that make me go, those guys like each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that because then that starts to transfer into results.
Tim may get kicked out of the group text of the dogs for asking you to take that down. Like, Tim, I don't know if you're going to hear us now, but I'm you're on probation from the dogs. we have to go through a player's court for you to get yourself back in, so get some representation. Jay, man, thank you so much. We'll make this the annual tradition.
100%.
Like, come out to convention. You're always welcome to stop by, chop it up with us. And if they don't get you hooked up with like a way to get in, we're just gonna make you the Soccer Chat producer, and we'll get you a tag.
Make a badge.
Yeah, yeah. We will totally. Yes, we're gonna play the interest music and everything. And plus, I mean, next year it's Anaheim. Let's go big. Let's go Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And man, like, let's come up with something special. Let's do something big next year.
I like that.
All right, awesome. We'll be right back.